Hello, and thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo.
We've got work to do.
Welcome to This Is The Way, Phase 4's discussion of the Disney Plus show WandaVision. Today we're taking a look at Season 1, Episode 8 of the Marvel Studios show titled Previously On.
You'd rather fall apart than face your truth.
A reminder, this podcast contains spoilers and speculation that can sometimes venture beyond this show into other Marvel movies and shows, so beware.
All right. Let's go.
Did you know you could be part of the podcast? All you have to do is email us to thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or at thewayphase4 on Twitter and on facebook.com. Feedback? None this week, but there is a couple of things new. The episode description is available for Previously On, and it was immediately available Friday morning. It says, Wanda embarks on a troubling journey, revisiting her past for insight into her present and future. Other news? Well, we've got some dates for Loki and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I'll give those to you at the end of our podcast.
That's right.
Where did we leave off last time? Well, Wanda felt guilty for expanding the Hex and wanted some me time to herself. Vision woke up in the circus and teamed up with Dr. Darcy, and though they made their escape, they found themselves stuck behind silly obstacles that kept them from making it to Wanda. Monica Rambeau failed to make it back through the barrier on her first heavily armored attempt, but not only succeeds on her next attempt, she awakened superpowers that she may not yet fully realize. Wanda's babysitter may have lost her twins, and that may be a best case scenario because Agnes isn't Agnes, she's Agatha. It was Agatha all along.
Previously on WandaVision.
This Previously On has some extra meaning thanks to the show title. We start with Agent Jimmy Woo voicing over the briefing from Episode 4, Born to Irina and Oleg Maximoff, both killed during an air raid when Maximoff and her twin brother Pietro were 10. Director Hayward takes over in the briefing. We hear his voice over of Wanda in the cell in Sokovia, held captive by Von Strucker. She's practicing magic on cubes, but to me, it looked like new footage, not the kind that we saw at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier. It's new footage of her smashing blocks together. Hayward says the twins were subsequently radicalized, volunteering at Hydra. He continues over security footage, shaky security footage of Wanda taking Vision's body, apparently, from Sword HQ. He says Maximoff stormed our facility, stole the Vision's body, and resurrected him. We get a brief shot of Vision from Episode 3 before we hear his voice, and then we hear him talking to Darcy in the funnel cake truck from last episode. Wanda killed me, he says, and Darcy answers, yes, you asked her to do it. We see footage from Avengers Infinity War of Wanda saying, I can't, to Vision, and him telling her, you can. Then she uses her magic on the Mind Stone in his head. He continues his discussion with Darcy in the truck, saying, I came back and died again. Wanda screams no as Thanos grabs the resurrected or rewound Vision as Darcy voices, and she had to watch. And we see Thanos rip the gem from his forehead. Wanda is then sitting on the couch at her nosy neighbor's house. She asks, where are the twins? Agnes replies, they're probably just playing in the basement. We see Wanda there looking for Billy and Tommy. Then we hear Agnes reintroduce herself. You didn't think you were the only magical girl in town, did you? The name's Agatha Harkness. Lovely to finally meet you, dear. A quick fade to black, and then there's that faint beeping we hear every now and then. We get the Marvel Studios title sequence, and they may slightly change from week to week, or they may be the same, I'm not sure, but in Episode 1, it faded to black and white, along with a theme song going from stereo to mono sound. It was kind of a tip-off that we weren't going to be in our usual colorful world. Well, this week, the title screen Marvel Red morphed into a purple, like the magic of Agatha, and then disappeared, much like Agatha's dress and boots appeared with that purple magic at the beginning of her theme song at the end of last episode. Then we get a cold open. We see a cloaked figure with a torch from overhead, and then we get to see some text on the screen. There's animals hooting in the distance. It's Salem, Massachusetts, 1693. The text starts purple, goes white, so purple's very important to Agatha's version of magic, I suppose. The scene starts, and I felt like at first it was either going to be Agatha performing some dark magic on an innocent or Agatha being burned at the stake by Puritans. Instead, we see a more sympathetic-looking Agatha being the one dragged to the stake by other witches. She seems less powerful. There's also a sense that we should feel sorry for her. And we will see soon how she may have become more powerful. This would have played out much more different now if we had seen Agatha being brought there as a child. It would have been a little bit hard to show kids, though, but it's not really a show for children. It would have helped mirror then what happens to Wanda later in the show. But maybe Agatha is supposed to be playing a teenager. I suppose it's possible. Like Wanda when she gets to the Hydra prison. But for now, it looks like she's an adult when she's being dragged to the stake there. Agatha's already basically been tried for some magical crimes against nature. It would seem she's being put to death. But remember, these are all survivors of the witch trials. This is taking place in 1693. And after 1692, there were no more hangings. Everybody was given reprieves. So even though there were still trials taking place in early 1693, you know, there were no more hangings, I guess. So perhaps, and nobody was burned at the stake there. So perhaps it was secrecy that Agatha was violating. These other witches may be Wiccan, but they have actual weaponized powers. They tie her to a stake with some blue magic, some that's binding her hands, keeping her hands behind her and around the stake. She's asked if she's a witch. And one would think the correct answer would be no, but not when they know the truth. So why would they ask that? I don't know. She denies stealing knowledge above her age and station, but she's called a liar, basically, and it's said that she betrayed her coven. She then tries a different tactic, saying the rules simply don't apply because of how powerful she is. And then the witches start chanting in Latin. She starts to plead, but it seems kind of insincere. She pleads to her mother, who is the head of the coven, apparently. And she says she can't control it. The beams from the blue witch's hands shoot at her, and they seem to cause her pain, and she can't withstand it until something wells up within her chest, an orange or red kind of power. If we remember from last episode, the book in Agatha's basement had an orange or red power emanating from it, and orange added to that color blue might make it purple. Well, the beams do turn purple. Instead of harming her, she seems to be draining the life force from the witches. Perhaps it was stealing the book or reading from it that was in violation of some rules, and it would have been nice to hear what crime she actually committed in their eyes, and not just a vague mention of it, because it might help explain what's going on, especially considering who's at the heart of this supposed execution. Agatha frees herself, she frees her hands, and then she seems a little surprised at the level of power, and then she finishes draining all of the witches' powers, and her mother remains, though, hovering above. Agatha pleads with her.
Please, I can be good.
No, you cannot.
Her mother says she can't and blasts her with, and a crown of blue magic appears on her head, but Agatha's purple magic is too powerful. Agatha seems to enjoy the incoming power, and she's not put off by the death she's causing, even to her own mother, though she's calling her mother. At first, I wasn't really sure if it was her mom, because it seemed logical that maybe just the witch in charge of the coven might have been called the mother. But the credits at the end of the show do have her as Evanora Harkness. So her mom is named after the Wicked Witch of the East from, you know, Oz the Great and Powerful, I guess. So we see it is her mother from whom she takes the brooch that she's been wearing. So that is either sentimental, symbolic of her power over the coven, or, you know, an actual magical item that she needs or has to use. And then she takes off into the air, and the scene ends.
Don't go giving yourself a migraine.
From that scene, we go to Agatha's basement in the present day, or when this show is taking place, rather. Agatha talks to her familiar, Senor Scratchy, the rabbit. And there's something up with it, because witches don't just have pets and call them names like Senor Scratchy. She says she's shocked to meet the real us, to, you know, about Wanda to her pet. Wanda is supposed to be super powerful, right? In fact, the most powerful. But somehow, she can't read Agatha's mind. She mocks Wanda's disappearing and reappearing accent, Agatha does. Wanda tries to strike at her after she doesn't get an answer about her children. But Agatha's genuinely surprised that Wanda doesn't seem to know the basics of witchcraft. She's almost upset that this newbie has so much power without working for it, clearly forgetting that she was the young one at one point, stealing magic far above her station. She says she was attracted to magical afterglow of the Hex. I don't know if that's really accurate, because it seems like she was there from the beginning. But something, you know, maybe she foresaw it or something. She mentions protection runes in the walls and how only witches that cast runes can use their magic in a given space. So the Hex isn't a protection against other types of magic, but Agatha can create magical protection inside the Hex. And some of the runes look, you know, like familiar to the comic book realm. I think there's one that looks like kind of the House of M logo. She performs a couple simple spells and then points out how it takes years of practice to be able to perform the spells that she's performing on insects and animals, let alone a whole town. She does mind control, transmutation, and she really, really wants to know the secret behind Wanda's power. She throws the bird that she transmuted from a cicada towards the bookstand, and Senor Scratchy catches it and eats it as it's transformed back into a cicada. So it's not, you know, not he's not eating a bird, he's eating a bug. And now there is an open book on the table, but it's not pouring forth any color energy, and there's also a new book behind it, one with a tree with roots on the cover behind Senor Scratchy. And I think it's the same book stand based on what else is on the book stand. There's that plant, there's a plant on there and some vials or some containers. It looks like the same book stand. So that book seems to be open. That one that was glowing orange seems to be open now. And there's a new book on the or behind it on the table. And I don't know if that's important or not, but that's what we've got. So we may not get an answer as to why that book was glowing. Wanda does not want to talk. So she gets thrown back and forth in the room with magic by Agatha. She reveals she was behind Pietro, Agatha does, or the not brother version of Pietro, just as eyes and ears to try to get her to reveal how she did it.
I got close with fake Pietro, if you will.
She says she tried to gently nudge Wanda from the fantasy. But she also says that Wanda would rather fall apart than face her truth. Now, we speculated that someone was trying to figure out information from Wanda through Pietro, and it turns out, it was Agatha. Agatha plucks a hair from Wanda's head, casts a spell. Then the hair is like a strand of time, which is a nice mythological touch there, because a strand of time, and it really goes to a lot of different Marvel Cinematic Universe tropes that we're seeing with the different time streams. Well, you know, and Doctor Strange plucked a hair of Thor's to find Odin in one of the movies. So a door with 9 seals on it glows purple because the hair is, absorbed into the door. And then it changes into the door of Wanda's home in Sokovia.
Magic on autopilot.
What's your secret, sister?
Agatha is about to play psychologist here. She's going to find out the secret to Wanda's power by seeing her past. She says it's time to look at some real reruns. Wanda's home in Sokovia is a small studio flat, and it's in a war zone. Her mother's cleaning. She sees her father, who has brought home DVDs of classic shows, like Who's the Boss, The Addams Family, I Love Lucy, I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, Malcolm in the Middle, but missing is Wanda's favorite. It's the Dick Van Dyke Show, and her father gets it from a secret hole in the wall, a secret hiding spot behind a curtain. From what young Pietro said earlier in the scene, and her parents are acknowledging it, this is basically how they learn English. But it's also kind of a respite from the war that's taking place in the streets outside. They sit down, watch an episode about a dream of an alien invasion involving walnuts from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
The walnut episode.
There are TV trays in the house, an extremely small TV on a stand, and a Mintec DVD player 2110. And the long brown-haired version of Wanda is absolutely enthralled by the show. She's got rapt attention right there on the screen. And we're going to get our first tragedy. An explosion rocks the home, killing Wanda and Pietro's parents. And in shock, Wanda surveys the room, but Pietro ushers her under the bed and a shell falls from the sky, embeds in the living room floor, but didn't penetrate the floor, nor does it detonate, nor does it shatter. Just sitting there. Red light flashing and a faint beeping, kind of like a toaster. Wanda and Pietro are somewhat frozen in fear, not knowing what to do, so it's extremely unlikely that the bomb did all those things, right? Extremely unlikely that it would fall, not through the living room floor, not explode, not shatter, not destroyed. It's just even more unlikely that the TV and DVD player would still be working in the rubble, but they are. And we'll get to that extreme unlikeliness. Wanda, as a child, says at the end of the episode, you realize it was all a bad dream, and she reaches out from under the bed with her hand stretched toward the bomb. Agatha then pulls her out from under the bed, And she, instead of a little girl, it's her adult size. And she says Wanda used a probability hex. And basically, she calls her a baby witch obsessed with sitcoms. So Wanda had powers, and they were probability hex powers, I guess. That's why everything unlikely happened, was because Wanda was using probability hexes.
So much trauma.
But she wants to know where she got the real big guns. So she looks over at the wall, the one that one time had the secret hole and the curtain covering it where the DVDs were. Now there's a door, a secure vault-like door with a Hydra symbol on it. Wanda says she doesn't want to go back. But Agatha says it's good medicine, Angel, and the only way forward is back.
Ah, Wanda, the rebellious years.
Through the door, the Mind Stone is still in the Scepter of Loki. In the control room of a lab behind glass are two Hydra agents. One seems to be a scientist and one is maybe just in charge of the project. Agatha is surprised Wanda volunteered to what she called an anti-freedom terrorist organization. Wanda says they just wanted to change the world. As Wanda walks forward in the lab building there, or the lab room, she recognizes what's about to happen in the vision of the past. Agatha gives a line that kind of sounded like one from Pietro about her dead husband dying twice. She says, though, "Don't be scared, you already lived it once." We see a teen Wanda in drab clothing. She's a volunteer, and she says so. But it's clear that she's given up everything to be there. The lab personnel from Hydra remark that no one survives direct contact, but she's instructed to touch the sample, so they don't care. Again, it's Loki's staff before the Mind Stone was extracted, right? So we see the staff as we remember it. But as she approaches, the stone that's held inside that blue glass orb removes itself from the staff, hovers in midair, and then over to Wanda. She reaches out to touch it, but it kind of vibrates, and then the glass shatters, revealing the Mind Stone, a yellow, elongated, hexagonal shape. And then there is a burst of power from it. But Wanda stares directly into the bright yellow light and sees a figure, not unlike how she was dressed in her Sokovian fortune teller costume. It's silhouetted in the yellow light, and it's floating toward her. And we get to see a cool shot of the figure reflected in Wanda's eyes. And then she faints. The stone is back in the glass, and it's back in the staff. The personnel rush into the room and order her to isolation. When they go back to look at the footage, it's been edited, like some of her broadcasts. She's watching an episode, though, in her cell of the Brady Bunch. There's the doll that Vision was using to change a diaper in episode 3. It's part of the episode. And it's Cindy taking care of the baby, and we see a scene with her and Bobby. Agatha's starting to piece things together, saying Wanda got close to an Infinity Stone that amplified her power instead of it dying on the vine, as she puts it. She says,
"The broken pieces of you are adding up, Buttercup. I have a theory, but I need more."
She magics another doorway, outlined first in purple magic, but then it becomes a door to her room at the Avengers campus in upstate New York, Wanda's room with Vision.
"So where are we now?
The Avengers compound?"
Wanda talks about being alone, and this is where she and Vision shared their first home. She says Pietro was dead, she was in a new country. She's watching an episode of Malcolm in the Middle where there's a pergola that falls on Bryan Cranston's dad character after he finishes building it. Not unlike the scene in the opening credit sequence of one of the WandaVision episodes. You know, the one where Vision is building a swing set and then it collapses. Vision appears through the wall after being sensed by Wanda. She's sad, and he's attempting to understand some human emotions here. It's a very poignant scene. He mentions he read that it would be good for her to talk about it, and if she wanted to talk to him about the loss she's feeling, he would like to do that for her. She says, "What makes you think I want to talk about it? I just want to see him again." She apologizes, because she thinks, I guess, that's too harsh. He stays silent, so he's a good listener. She says she's tired because it feels like she's being knocked down by a wave, and every time she stands up, it comes for her again, and that it will drown her. He says it won't, and she asks how he knows. He says,
"Because it can't all be sorrow, can it? I've always been alone, so I don't feel the lack. It's all I've ever known. I've never experienced loss because I've never had a loved one to lose. But what is grief? If not love, persevering.
That had me in absolute tears. And I think it's where the writer of this episode just earned herself an Emmy. But what is grief, if not love persevering? While it summed up things, Agatha does a much poorer job as this part of the scene comes to an end. She says, parents dead, brother dead, Vision dead.
Vision was gone. But you wanted him back. I wanted him back.
And then when Wanda says that, the door to the Sword HQ lobby opens. So she sees herself about 2 weeks back entering and looking for Vision's body. We learn a lot here. Director Hayward is a liar. He edited footage and completely misrepresented what happened because Wanda was basically invited in. She may have even been tipped off by Hayward himself as to Vision's body being held there. The body splayed out in a vet lab, visible from a landing outside Hayward's office. It's gruesome, like an autopsy, and he's showing it to her on purpose. She's in pain. He wants her to act. Hayward calls Vision a sentient weapon and says it's their legal and ethical obligation to dismantle him. She says she just wants to bury him, and he says not everyone has the power to bring their soulmate back online or back to life. This scene firmly plants Hayward as the enemy. He says he's not going to let Wanda take $3 billion worth of vibranium and just bury it in the ground. So she's watching, and she shatters the glass partition, floats down. We've seen that in the security footage, but Hayward has the security forces stand down. She's not threatening anyone. He clearly edited and portrayed Wanda as assaulting HQ and stealing Vision's body. Well, guess what? She didn't. We learn that here. She says goodbye. She says she can't feel him when she puts her hands on his decapitated head. She's like, I can't feel you. And that's evocative of what they say to each other, like, I only feel you. Well, she heads out to her car. There's a note, though, on the passenger seat. We don't see what it is. She drives to New Jersey, like Monica Rambeau did a few episodes back, from Sword HQ. Wanda pulls into a rundown Westview. We see Herb, Phil Jones, Mrs. Hart, the mailman guy who is really just a food delivery or pizza guy. There's a rundown community pool where the fundraiser discussion was in episode 2. A few houses passed, like the one that Sparky died at, but it doesn't appear to be Agatha's house, really, and neither does the one that's next to the lot where Wanda's house would be. She pulls up, though, to an empty lot, but she's got a deed in that envelope on her passenger seat. It's got a heart on the front lawn of the deed, and it says, to grow old in, V. Wanda Maximoff and the Vision are listed as the grantees, and it's in the county and city of Westview, Lot B, 77809 WV. There is just a one cinder block high outline of the house on the ground. There's no construction. There's no home. She tearfully walks to the center of the home, and she falls to her knees in grief. Her grief, though, seems to be the impetus of her power, because it bursts forth from her chest and from her hands. Her power is just coming out. Red and black, like the ether, the reality stone, a stone that she didn't really come into contact with, right? She's more connected with the Mind Stone. But the reality stone seems to be coming into play here because she is creating the house that we knew from episode 1, brick by brick. It's coming together in a graphic digital pattern that some people have pointed out looks kind of like one of the covers from one of the comic books. The house finishes, but Wanda isn't done. Another burst emanates from her outward. It's a shockwave that goes throughout the town, turns the town into the 50s era's version that we remembered from episode 1 and maybe the start of episode 2. We come back to the house. Wanda is still not done. Red energy coming from her changes to yellow in midair, and she's literally building Vision. Like, you can see the outline of him forming, and pieces of him are coming together in a very trippy, weird, flowing, you know, the house was built in like bricks and like very squared bricks. He's being almost woven. She did not kidnap his body. She formed him from memory and with magic. Wanda gets to be a viewer in this version of the scene, though. Now she knows what happens, because she keeps saying, I don't remember, I don't know what caused this, I don't know how I did this, I don't know what happened. Well, now she's seen it, thanks to Agatha and the hair, and she smiles as her 50s version and Vision get to cuddle on the couch. But there's a slow clap heard from the studio audience. Agatha realizes what's happened now. She too has seen, but she isn't exactly pleased. She disapparates from the studio audience. Suddenly, Wanda can hear Tommy and Billy now. She rushes outside the studio, which is her home. And there, Agatha has Billy and Tommy on magic leashes, and she's strangling them. She doesn't care. She chastises Wanda, saying she's dangerous. She says she's supposed to be a myth, a being capable of spontaneous creation. Wanda says let her children go, but Agatha's concentrated on what created them. Vision, the changes to the town. She says,
this is chaos magic, Wanda. And that makes you the Scarlet Witch.
We don't get a please standby this week. The Scarlet Witch is a nickname that we heard alluded to by director Haywood. Hayward, remember, he said, like, she's got no other nicknames? So he either knows what she is because he brought up that nickname, or it was just a cutesy nod from the writers that this was coming, but from Agatha and not from him. So it's really just kind of weird. Like, maybe he knew that she was the Scarlet Witch, which means he might know something about witchcraft, which means he may be more than he's letting on to be, but maybe it's just, like I said, a little nod. The credits done. Then we get to see the second base outside of S.W.O.R.D. again as a post-credit sequence. It's outside Westview. Hayward's watching the edge of the hex, and an agent tells him launch is ready. Launch what? Well, we get to see. Hayward still has, remember, the original body of Vision. So we hear him talk about putting the pieces back together 100 times, but still needing the right power source. And we see the glowing drone that Wanda brought out of the hex. It's hooked up to a white-bodied Vision corpse. He's upright with a power source not unlike the one made by Tony Stark in his forehead. That's where the Mind Stone might have once been. He comes online, all white, looks at his hands, and we're supposed to know that this thing is not programmed for good. And at best will be emotionless. An emotionless Vision point two. Our final thoughts. Well, the Avengers need to be called in, right? I mean, someone has got to get word, and it might as well be the no-show of the episode, Monica, right? We last saw her caught snooping by Pietro. Vision was flying toward home, where he will not be pleased to see his children being tortured. Wanda's out of the basement now, so does that mean she can go toe-to-toe with Agatha? And is Agatha really bad here, or is she just rightfully concerned that what she's discovered, maybe Wanda is an uncontrollable and unstoppable force. Will Darcy be more than comedic relief, and will she come into play at all? What about the likable Jimmy Woo and his missing contact? And what about Dr. Goodner, or Major Goodner, or whatever her name is? Is Hayward human? Is anyone here alien? Are they Skrulls? Is he a demon of some kind? Is he Mephisto, or is they're going to be even a different big bad in this whole thing? Or is it just going to be the emotionless Vision 2.0 or 0.2, whatever version we're calling him? What ties does the Witch Coven have to old magic of the old gods? Maybe there's from the Dark World, or maybe from Asgardian, because the only other mention of witches I can think of came from Thor's mother, who said that she was raised by witches. So maybe this is really old magic that we're dealing with. Why did Wanda survive the touching of the Mind Stone? Does she have a genetic mutation? Is she the first X-Men mutant? And why does she seem to be able to control chaos magic? Was she born with the powers? Why would she have been born with the powers? Will we be left with questions that can only be answered in Doctor Strange, or by Doctor Strange in this episode, or this coming episode, or do we have to wait for a whole nother movie to get some resolution? Because I want to see resolution for the townspeople. I also want to see a satisfactory end to the Agatha influence. I like Catherine Hahn. I'm fine with her being in more Marvel properties, but I want to see some resolution there. That doesn't mean she has to die. I just want to see you know, a complete story told. I don't want there to be all these loose threads. You know, we're operating on Chekhov's gun here. We don't want to see any red herrings. If it's seen and we see it, we want it to matter. I want an explanation of that book we saw glowing. You know, I don't need a happy ending, but I don't want more punishment for Wanda either. So if she has to lose again, let it be in service of her coming to power and controlling the chaos, not getting knocked down over and over again by the waves. Well, what do you think? Email us at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact on Twitter @thewayphase4. Episode 8 was again directed by Matt Shakman, written this time by Laura Donney, and bravo, Laura Donney. Great job. Episode 9 is coming out Friday, March 5th. That's the season finale. Loki, though, has a release date now. June 11th, 2021 is supposed to be the premiere on Disney Plus, and even sooner, coming March 19th, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is just around the corner, and that's a special day for yours truly, because my wife and I celebrate our 10th anniversary that day. This has been This Is The Way Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 8 of WandaVision. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.